This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, the famous Alec Medford, and joining us for day two of his three-day journey, it is Zach Wolchuk. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How we doing today?
We're freaking lit right now, and I'm not talking about the bulbs that we turn off at our house.
Now, right before the show started, Zach, you said, let's have a hell of a show.
Mm-hmm.
If not for that, were you thinking mediocre show?
I was thinking, probably like a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
You know, well, but today, on a Tolo Tuesday, on a TD Tuesday, where there's still always TDs to be had, I think this is going to be a phenomenal show.
Alec, if you had to predict the rating out of 10 for the... I don't understand, too, why people go out of 10, with 10 being the highest and 1 being the lowest. I was like, I feel like people pretty much know how the 1 to 10 scale works. What do you think our show will be rated today?
I think every day is a 10. Every day that we wake up and show up, except for Corey, it's a 10.
Oh,
it's a 10.
I need to text Corey back, by the way, because my tease is like, will day two with Wolchuk go better than day one? He goes, oh, dude, do I need to come back?
Did it go badly?
No, you did fine.
Was it like, did you get a response? How'd the meeting go post-show? Were they like, gosh, that was an absolute disaster?
Are you embarrassed?
Yeah,
yeah, that was the first question. And then they said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much better do you think Zach could do? And I was like, 7.
Okay, hey, I'll take that.
Okay, good.
I thought it would be higher.
No, I think he did an acceptable job yesterday.
Hey, as long as it's acceptable.
So let's see if you can do better than acceptable
C's
today.
C's get degrees.
Oh, my God. That sounds about right. All right, so... this is going to be a long day. It's 3 minutes into the show.
Hey, K&Z Masterpiece is sneaky good. Sneaky.
Go ahead and give me cut number 2, and hopefully this cut is 13 minutes, and we'll end the rest of the segment.
And it's 3rd and 4. Here's Gabbert. Some pressure coming. Gets it away, and it's intercepted. Jack Sanborn's got it. One man to beat. Sanborn, if he can do it. And he is going to be taken down inside the 30.
Man, you could just feel the enthusiasm on that call right there. All right, so... Jack Sanborn, part of the players that the Cowboys have brought in. What I want to ask to you, Zach, to you, Alec, to the people listening, Franklin, Franklin Injury Attorney, text line 877-881-1053. Cowboys free agency thus far, where did they improve, if you think there are spots, and what holes still remain? And I get it. Your instinct is going to be to text in and say, they got worse across the board because the Cowboys are stupid and everything that they do is dumb. I get that that's your instinct. You'd like to help us potentially have a more constructive conversation, I would approve of that as well. Zach Wolchuk, where did the Cowboys get better?
You know, I think that they did get better at linebacker. I think that was an area where they had nobody on the roster outside of Maris Leifau that could really play right now. And I know DeMarvin Clark is technically still under contract. We talked yesterday how that could be a cap casualty.
Yeah,
I don't know that he's even going to make the roster. So you desperately needed help there.
And don't you have to go off the idea, if he does, great. But don't you have to go off the idea that DeMarvian Overshown is not playing this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so then if he does, great. Let's reconfigure. We have more talent than expected. Fantastic. But I think you have to go off the idea that, like, Agreed. It's not going
to
happen.
Right. I think you have to assume that him and Diggs, like, I'm basically just filling out this roster right
Ooh,
now.
Fascinating.
With the assumption that I'm just not expecting to get much from Overshown and Diggs. And if I do, then amazing. This is great.
Okay.
But I need to plan to not have them and make sure that, like Batman, I've got my contingencies ready to rock.
Okay.
So I like the additions at linebacker of Sanborn. We might talk more Kenneth Murray Jr. today or tomorrow. I'm a little bit more high on that signing than a lot of people are. I don't think this is a bad player. I think he's been productive. I think that he does play with some instincts. I know the coverage numbers have never been super great throughout his career. I think he's much better against the run than people give him credit for. So I do like some of the moves they made at linebacker.
What about, not to infuriate people, where are we at with defensive line? Because you lost to Marcus Lawrence, brought in Dante Fowler. If you think Peyton Turner is going to bring anything to the club, how do we feel about the change for defensive line?
I think they just added depth, right? I think that's all it is. I think Peyton Turner, if he can stay healthy for you, all right, you got a guy that maybe can give you a little bit when it comes to playing the run. I think special teams is an underrated factor because of the arm length that he's going to be able to contribute with there. And I think Solomon Thomas is actually a really good signing. I think that's one of the better free agent signings they've had in recent memory. I think he's actually going to produce for
you. Does he like the value of it at four per year?
I like the value of it. I think he's also in a team that I do believe has leadership voids on that side of the football. Now, how easy is it for a guy to first year with a team? I had those questions with Eric Kendricks, so I do think he's a natural born leader last year. When you're coming into a new locker room where you kind of have to prove yourself again to everybody, can you just immediately step up to a leadership role? But none of the things they did along the defensive line, especially with one-year contracts, would mean to me like, I can't draft a guy if I like him at 12.
Do you think they got any worse at defensive line? And before the draft.
That's a great question.
All of this is before the draft. I realize that.
I think bringing in Fowler kept you, I think you got slightly better.
Okay.
Slightly better. I don't like losing Chauncey Golston, but I do think you can argue like Turner, when healthy, can provide a lot of the same things. And bringing in Solomon Thomas, I like that. But I think bringing in Fowler now, you probably actually have a better pass rush than what you had a year ago.
I agree with that. Absolutely. All right. Are there any other positions, if we said upgrade at linebacker, perhaps slight upgrade thus far at defensive line, slight. Any other positional groups that you want to dive into right now that you're like, I feel better about this group than I did going into free agency?
No, I don't think there's. Okay. And I think some people would argue running back. I don't.
I don't think I would either. All right. So where are the needs going into the draft? Now, we will keep in mind that the Cowboys can still obviously make more free agent moves. They still have money available. We've moved into the Class B, if not Class C, of free agency, which I believe is where you and Brada said a week or two ago that maybe the Cowboys would be apt to fish. Mm-hmm. So we'll update this, but running back is interesting because they brought in two guys that, I'm not going to lie, I hope are competing to be the backup, and then the other one is maybe not here anymore, and we draft a running back. But how much do you go into the draft being like, running back?
I'm there. I believe they will be taking their starting running back, personally.
Okay.
I mean, because I don't, like, Javonte Williams, third down specialist, solid pass blocker, can catch the ball for you. But I think that there's a reason why Denver was very happy to get rid of him. And I got a scouting report on Sanders from a scout in Carolina. He said home run speed's not there anymore. Still has some downhill burst. Average hands as a pass catcher. Not the best option in pass pro. Had a lot of instances where he was not seeing the hole well. And feel like his confidence took a hit once Chuba really got going. Ceiling of a decent RB2 option at this point. So
that's
there's
the ceiling.
Not, yeah, the ceiling. So that's your guy. Like, I think you're absolutely spot on. To me, this is kind of similar to Royce Freeman a year ago.
Okay.
Where I don't know that he makes the roster out of camp. Maybe he does. Maybe it's Deuce Vaughn or Malik Davis that end up being the guys that get cut. But I don't think you have your RB1 right now. I'd like that to be your draft selection.
And you don't have wide receiver 2, do you?
No. You know, wide receiver 2 might be the most glaring spot for you right now that you really have to address.
Okay. All right. Is it just wide receiver 2 and then you feel comfortable with Tolbert, or you still think they're going to take a look at Allen, or Is it just wide receiver too? Because it feels like wide receiver's a high need. But, like, how many wide receivers?
Two. I think I'd like to add a veteran piece that could be your wide receiver, too, and then I'm still drafting a player.
Okay.
Because Jalen Tolbert, this is a contract year for him. Maybe it finally clicks. And I get it. He stacked up a couple of touchdowns to end the season. That's awesome. Jalen Tolbert did nothing for you after the Pittsburgh game. That was the moment where his career, take advantage of it. You crushed it. You had a tremendous moment against Pittsburgh. You sprained your nuts. You had a game-winning touchdown. And then after that, you went absolutely nowhere. Yeah. You did absolutely nothing. Yeah. I can't rely on you.
All right. Now, to go along with this, this might be, I don't know, this could be the most complicated situation of them all. What is the need level on offensive line? Because, obviously, Zach Martin retires. I know there are people out there who would like to go ahead and cut your right tackle as well and just totally redo the right side of the line. Not saying that that is going to happen, but what is the need on the offensive line?
I think you still could use a right guard. If there was a player that you liked in the draft, I would absolutely consider that. Because right now you've got Hoffman and Robert Jones that are compete for that spot. I love Brock Hoffman. Yes. I love the play temperament he's got. But I think you saw the more he was able to play last year why he is like a really exceptional backup player that you feel great about in a pinch start moment. He's got to come in for 2 or 3 weeks. But throughout a 17-game season, I think that you will start to see other teams exploit his weaknesses. Robert Jones is a guy talking with people in Miami. 2 years ago, he was better than last year. He's battling through injuries. He also has some nasty to his game, but I think you can upgrade there. And my question would be, at center, like, I love, you know.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, from conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love Cooper Beebe.
You do? I'm surprised to hear this.
But I believe Cooper Beebe, his best spot's always been guard. And I think he could be an all-pro guard. I loved what he did last year as a rookie playing center, essentially for the first time since his freshman year in college. But you just had Garrett Bradbury released from Minnesota. And I immediately had Cowboy fans saying, hey, would you be interested in looking at a free agent center? I don't think the Cowboys will.
But your dream scenario would be kick him out to the right and go Bradbury at center.
Yeah, or draft Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State, who I think is the best center in this draft.
Okay. All right. And by the way, I'm going to take a step back real quick from the 972. I thought Mingo was supposed to be our wide receiver too because we gave up a fourth for him. Look, that's probably what they were thinking, and maybe things can take off and it'll be unbelievable, but I don't see how you can plan for that. There is literally nothing that you saw from Mingo before he got traded or now that he got traded that would lead you to believe he goes in wide receiver number two spot. I'm not saying he cannot be that. I'm just saying at this point, that would be absurd.
And how disappointing have really just all the receivers been on this roster?
Yes.
Where you were screaming for somebody to step up last year and nobody did? I'm all about the competition. Let's go ahead and just get out the week here. Get Darwinism, all right? Bring in as many good players and possibly let's get the bottom feeders the hell out of here. Maybe that's Mingo.
Cornerback. We can talk about safety if you want, but it feels like especially if you go in with a thought of maybe we'll get something from Diggs, maybe we won't, and we need to be prepared for that. Feels like the need at cornerback's pretty dang high.
It's huge. And if I had to project right now what I think the Cowboys are going to do, I think that in the second round, corner will be a pick that they will probably take. And I think Azurae Thomas, the corner from Florida State, who is the brother of Wanye Thomas, who's already on the roster, I think that's a player that they would like and consider there in the second round.
Does that make you nervous? I'm not saying anything about Thomas as a player, but I think we can all see scenarios in which you're like, I could see them going running back in the first round. I could see them going cornerback in the second round, not because the best player is there. I'm not saying there's not value. There could absolutely, and you're like, you'd be dumb not to take this player. But I get worried that now with running back, wide receiver, right guard, or center, and cornerback, you're going to position yourself where you're like, well, I need this position.
And that's where they've had their worst drafts. Best draft, you go back to what, 2020, when they took CD and Diggs 1-2?
Yeah.
And did they need CD Lamb at the time when he fell to 17?
Nope.
No, they didn't. But they took him, and now it's a home run pick. And Diggs was in consideration there. He falls all the way to the second round. I get the injuries lately that stunk, but you've got to fill out this roster to where you're not feeling like, gosh, we've really got to take a receiver here. We really got to take a corner here. That's where you end up having a bad draft.
Now, safety. What's the concern level at safety, especially because yesterday we were tinkering around with Donovan Wilson and maybe making some changes there?
I think this is a draft that you could really upgrade over safety.
Okay.
And this is funny because it's like, okay, now we're looking at the top three rounds here and we're talking receiver, we're talking running back, we're talking corner, maybe end. Like, I think Mykel Williams out of Georgia, that's the name Tommy Yarish on the draft show last week said, hey, I'm hearing a lot of buzz around the Cowboys at 12. But to me, I think safety is an area they could definitely upgrade. Like, Malik Hooker's been a okay player. Good. He's had some really good moments. For the most part, it's kind of been, we're average here. Donovan Wilson, some highs, but some lows, right? Yeah. And then Marquise Bell's in the fold here. Wanye Thomas is in the fold here. What can you get out of those guys? But you can upgrade that position in this year's class.
So if you boiled it down to, look, I get we would all love to be in the space where it's best player available. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I'm just saying positional, most glaring needs going into it. Running back, wide receiver, cornerback, safety, and potentially right guard or center, depending on how that plays out.
And I'd add in one technique. I mean, who's really your backup behind Mozzie Smith?
That's
That is assuming Mozzie Smith is starting for you, which he will be. But I know there's a lot of fans out there, and fairly so, that are like, ooh, is that the best thing?
I know there's some writers out there that will hype him to the moon regardless of what he does in training camp. By the way, from the 817, and people bring this up all of the time, no C. You need a quarterback that looks past his first read tight end. I hear you on all of that. It's just, that's not going to change. Probably for 3 years, possibly for 2 years. Your quarterback's not going to change. There's nothing you can do about it at this point, and we just need to accept it and work with the hand that we're
maybe dealt. For later on, could I convince you to take a tight end over a wide receiver if the option was there at the 12th pick?
Holy moly. I'm intrigued. That's a tease. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, to play or not to play? The case for and against the return of Anthony Davis. Next right here on The Fan.
Thompson gambled going after it. And to the basket, Davis putback jam. And how is that for a first 4 minutes and 26 seconds in a Mavericks uniform?
Yeah! And you'd get a few more minutes of that. Don't worry about what happened after that. But we're going to ask the question. I said don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
We're going to ask what question. He got hurt and is this whole big thing.
Oh, no.
He might be on the way back. Well, the question is, to play or not to play? The case for and against the return of Anthony Davis. But a quick side question for you guys while people get their votes in. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053 or the YouTube or the Twitch. I got multiple emails yesterday.
Oh, no.
About the Apple versus Android conundrum.
Oh, I thought it would be Nazi questions.
What? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody sent me a 3-part podcast about the founding of NASA and what it has to do with Nazis.
No kidding.
And I'm going to listen to that. I haven't had a chance yet, but I'm absolutely going to listen to that. I have lots of questions, and I really want to know more information about that because I told my wife about it, and she's like, what is this? She thought I was setting up a joke because just like I do up here, I will go out of my way to spend time to a ridiculous setup, to a terrible joke.
That's right.
And so she's like, are you about to tell me a joke? This is, I want to go to sleep. And I was like, no, this is really what I learned today. So I want to know, are you Android people or Apple people? All right. Hit me up on Fantex, YouTube, the Twitch, or you can say, I'm just a regular person who happens to use Apple. That's fine as well. I hope you cut through and got the point. Because you have an Apple computer.
Yes.
So I assume that you have Apple headbands at home, Apple underwear, Apple watch, Apple phone, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't have the watch. I've got the phone, and I've got the headbands for sure.
Okay, good.
The underwear I had, but the streak marks, they built up too much to where I had to throw them away.
And then they get a new pair to clean
it. I didn't want to get a new pair. They just charge too much like the rest of it. Honestly, I'm an Apple guy because I've just been an Apple guy.
Okay.
I can't say that I will vouch for Apple. I think the Androids are better phones.
And the thing about it for me, I like the Android phone better, but more importantly than any of that, I don't care for change, especially on a low level everyday life. Like if you're like, hey, you have to move away and get a new job and stuff, I feel like that would be easier for me to deal with than use this computer for the day. And I'm like, ugh, how am I supposed to copy and paste things? This is madness. And so that's definitely something that happened at our house.
Is it not the same?
No, it's not. Because there's a stupid command button that's not like, whatever. I'm not going to get into that right now.
Is this user error, Alec?
No, it's not user error.
I did. Whenever I got my first MacBook, I definitely had to Google how to copy and paste. I did get used to it pretty quick. I moved on from the MacBook really quick, though. I had to go back to Windows.
Okay. I get it.
It's weird. I'm like Apple Watch, Apple phone, Apple AirPods, all of that. But when it comes to computers, I have to be on Windows.
From the 972, Apple is the S. From the 405, Android for life, green text for life. And that's another thing. I don't understand why that bothers Apple people so much.
Oh, it is annoying.
Color of the text is, and why?
No, here, it's the day of the group chats, right? So if you get one person, it ruins the entire group chat. It ruins sending pictures, videos. Now sometimes that Android person isn't always getting the text.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is that the Android person's fault? Or is it the multi-billion dollar, at one time trillion dollar company who did that on purpose to try to bully people into buying their product?
Well, consider myself bullied.
You're the woolly bully.
I am the woolly bullied, and I cannot bully Apple back. I do think that it is, honestly, we should not be paying for internet. Internet should be free throughout the entire world, okay? You shouldn't have to pay for that. And the Apple prices are absolutely ridiculous. And they know what they're doing.
Yes.
And the fact they're coming out with a new phone every single year, what the hell is the difference between each phone?
This time the camera's 12 times better instead of 10.
Bull it is, okay? So, yeah. And then what they're doing here, and I know like technically it's not allowed anymore, but you could always tell when they wanted you to get a new phone. Like, you've had this phone for a little bit too long now. It's been 4 years. We need you to get back into the store, and we need you to buy a new one. All of a sudden, now the battery's starting to wane a little bit. It's just not charging properly. It's running a little bit slower. They can say what they want. They don't mess with your stuff anymore. They're messing with it. And last night, I'm watching White Lotus with the wifey, which, by the way, the season of White Lotus has not been nearly as good as the previous seasons.
Here, have you seen any of it so far, Alec?
I have not.
Do you watch the show?
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give you a breakdown. Hey, something interesting happened in the first 3 minutes. Wonder what that's going to be about. Don't know. We'll get back to it in maybe 5 episodes or so. In the meantime, look at all of this nice Thailand scenery. Oh, that is delightful. That's the show.
That's the show.
That's the whole show.
Yeah.
And like these older ladies, they don't get along and like to talk behind each other's back. It's crazy.
Okay, that exact scene from this recent episode, I don't want to spoil anything, but they go out, they're partying, they're dancing. They ask to dance. My phone is listening. There was not anybody that said like Siri or anything, and my phone started responding. Like, yeah, I would love to dance the cha-cha. What is going on? They are listening to us, and I don't feel comfortable.
True.
Phones can't dance.
This phone
yes.
said she could dance.
Man,
cha-cha. Cha-cha, real smooth.
People get so heated about this, too. I'm a normal person. That's why I use Apple, because normal people use Apple. And then another person said, I'm a normal person. I just don't happen to have an iPhone. All right. But it looks like Advantage... It looks
more
like Advantage
Apple. Yeah, more and it is user-friendly. Once you get used to it, you can use any Apple device.
I think it's because I'm cheap, too. And they're like, hey, you can get this computer. It's really neat. How much does it cost? $2,000. Hey, you can get this computer that does mostly the same stuff as long as you're not looking to edit movies together or whatever, which I'm not. $500. And I'm like, whew. I'll take the one that I can buy four of.
No, that's totally fair.
And
Bobby, you know, Bobby's a massive advocate for the Android. And some of the videos and photos that he's been able to take, like when he goes on the road at the Cowboy games, it looks like NFL Films type of productions.
Yes.
Like they do work beautifully when it comes to editing and also images.
That I agree with. All right. Now, on the case of Anthony Davis, I was really dispirited because the first text I saw, which I totally understand, is he could play, he cannot play. Don't really care because I don't care about the Mavericks anymore. I understand that. I will try. Well, first of all, Alec, Zach, do you guys have opinions about whether he comes back to play or not? Because it looks like it's about to happen.
Take it away, Medford.
I think, yeah, I think he does. And I mean, at this point, you may as well, because they're trying to salvage any kind of excuses to try to justify what they did, right? And if they give you that little bit of hope, it's just like what the Cowboys do. We talk about the hopium that they like to do, even in a lost season. If they can string together a few wins with their core guys, they can say, look, we got our group together for next year. Imagine when they're all on the floor at the same time and they're all healthy. So you may as well. I'm not in favor of it, but they're like, hey, if we can get people to hope again, then cool.
Now, you just hit on a very big pro that I know is going to get brought up. By the way, question, need follow-up on this. 972, I'm a normal person who bought an iPhone 1 and have continued since, currently on the 12 Pro Max. Does that mean that you buy a new iPhone when it's time for you to get a new phone? Because that I totally get. Or do you buy every single phone that comes out? Because I think that is weird.
If they're on the 12 Max, they're like four behind, right? Aren't we on 16 now?
Yeah.
That's fine.
So they're doing a good job.
Yeah. So like maybe you had the 1, maybe you had the 4, the 8, whatever.
Yeah.
Like that totally makes sense to me. All right. So the pros and cons. Do you want to give your opinion before we dive into pros and cons?
You play to win the game.
Mm.
You play to win the game, unless you are just destined to lose. And that is what will happen in the play-in or in the playoffs if the Mavericks even get Anthony Davis back. Why? They don't have a freaking guard that can win in the postseason. Kyrie is injured.
That's true.
Jaden Hardy has done nothing for you this year. That has been so disappointing. Do you want to trust Spencer Dinwiddie and Max Christie to get this thing done? I don't. So just sit him.
We do some we do some refugee work on Mondays, and I asked one of my mentees there if he wanted to go to Mavericks game, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I have the heart to tell him yet. And he goes, heck yeah, I want to go see Kyrie and them handles out there. And I was like, I go, look, buddy, I got terrible news for you.
Yeah.
He's hurt. Well, he'll be back, right? Yeah, he'll be back next season. Maybe not with this team. I didn't want to get into the minutiae of opting out of the contract and everything like that. But it broke his little heart when I was like, we could still go. I go, do you still want to go? And he goes, no. Yeah, who? And they traded Luka, right? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, what about AD? I was like, well, still hurt at the moment, so it might depend. Anyways, it was a really depressing conversation.
Go see PJ Washington at least.
That's true. I like PJ Washington.
There's a way to sell it.
All right. The case for Anthony Davis's return, you guys brought it up. An increased chance to qualify for the playoffs. The Mavericks are 5-11 since Anthony Davis's injury and a robust 1-6 since Kyrie went out for the rest of the season. Despite the fact they've been trying to actively lose to get out of the playoffs. Everybody in Phoenix hates one another, and so they don't want to win games to get into the playoffs either. But you're right. There is a significantly better shot to make the play-in if Anthony Davis plays. Now, Alec, this is the one you brought up. An opportunity to build chemistry with teammates. You could have Anthony Davis out there with Klay Thompson, PJ Washington, Najee Marshall, Quentin Grimes. Oh, not that last one. Don't look up what he did last night.
Tell you what, if Quentin Grimes was still on the team, I'd say, hey, do you get your ass back?
Yeah. And so, also, the Mavericks are running out of people. So, as we talked about yesterday, you might need him to get back so you can continue to circumvent the forfeiture rules that the NBA has. Now, this is the last one is interesting. I wonder if you're too far gone for this. Salvaging fan interest. Does the return of Anthony Davis? Let's just leave it at that. Let's skip Gafford and Lively and any potential other returns there. Just Anthony Davis. And if you want to throw in Jaden Hardy, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Can that salvage fan interest? Or is the fact that the team's below 500 fighting to even make the play-in, and obviously they don't have Luka shot this thing for the rest of the season?
I feel like those that are invested and engaged still would be the same ones. Like, how many people are you really adding at the end of the season? All of a sudden, if now maybe to see Anthony Davis back and playing, I think actually that would probably get all of us to watch.
Okay,
it would, right? Because it's like, okay, this is you do need to have some type of, this is what you moved on, traded Luka for.
Yeah,
you got to see what you got here. And so I do think that it would probably bring back some eyeballs just to see, hey, this is the Mavericks' new shiny toy that you got for really 2.5 quarters.
Can we save fan interest, Alec?
For me, I start wondering how many people equate actually watching the game to interest. Because is interest an actual like fandom? Or is it just, hey, that sounds neat that he's back. Let's watch it. You know, and they might still be totally out on it, because that's how I'm going to be. Is I'm going to watch the games when he comes back, if he comes back. I'm not going to be totally interested, but to the Mavericks, that is interest. The ratings go up. People start actually talking about it on social media. They win a few games. People are like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's interest. So I think it will go up because the diehard fans will get excited. They will.
Okay, so that's interesting, because on the con side, and this is where I fall, I totally understand the cohesion and working with who will be your teammates the next year, we think.
That's why I don't buy into this cohesion crap.
At this point, who the hell knows? You can't say there's nobody that's untradeable because you traded the most untradeable person. But here's three quick bullet points, and I definitely fall in with a couple of these. Re-aggravating the injury. Mm-hmm. That is a big concern for me. The other thing that we talked about, great, maybe you stay in the play-in. Maybe you host the 9-10 game. Neat. So you can get slaughtered before you make to the real playoffs. Not interested in that because of this last point. An investment into the future. The more he's not out there, the likelier it is that the Mavericks are going to lose. The more they lose, the better odds they have at a better draft pick. I realize history says the Mavericks have never moved up in the draft lottery. And it doesn't only have to be for the number one pick. There's a pair of wildly talented players at Rutgers that might go 2 and 3. You've got Edgecombe at Baylor. You've got Trey at Texas. Like, this is a much more stacked draft than last year was. And so what this team needs is another reason to hope, right? For a lot of people, maybe their hope's gone forever. I can't do anything about that. But maybe if you got a local kid in Trey and you drafted him, then maybe like he's got something for sure. And people would start to gravitate towards the team for that. That's the best I can come up with.
And it's weird to say this because it's like, bleep you, Nico. But the last time he did have a lottery pick, it turned out to be Derek Lively.
Yes.
So maybe, and it's like, man, how much hope can you really have in Nico? Because he made the ultimate of crap moves. But he did have some solid draft picks. You know, Jaden Hardy was also another one that we were excited about for a little bit. So maybe I'm with you. Ultimately, you don't have a lot of picks to use. You don't have a lot of future to think of. This is the year to capitalize on that.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. In case you missed it, the Major League Baseball season started this morning.
Woo!
We'll get to it next right here on the Fan.
Digs this one out. He's got a base hit to left center that'll bring home Hernandez. 3-1 Dodgers as Will Smith knocks in his first run of the year.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Now, this is sound weird.
With Mike Bassett.
He's not here.
Woo! I'm here, guys. I'm back.
He came on the show on Friday. Please do not do the ghost of Tom Landry. So, the Rangers don't start the regular season for, I believe it is 9 days. But the Major League Baseball season started this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. If you live in the central time zone, the Tokyo series. Now, we were joking about this before the show. I loved that Raw on Netflix started at 2 p.m. yesterday. I like the different start times. Turns out that 5 a.m. was a bridge too far for me to get up and watch the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Did you by chance care the most about sports and you woke up at 5 in the morning to watch the start of the baseball season?
Set an alarm, saw the first pitch, went right back to sleep just to say I did it.
Good job.
Am I lying? I sure am.
Oh, I believed you.
Yeah, I can be pretty convincing in that way. And I apologize for lying straight to your face like that. I did not get up. Last night, I did consider it. Like, I looked and I checked what time would this start, and it said 5:15 first pitch. I was like, you know, that could be fun, like a cool way to start the morning. But ultimately, nah, I couldn't do it. I love my sleep too much.
And it was It was an incredible atmosphere. I went back and watched some of it and then obviously watched a bunch of highlights to start the game because I was not watching at the beginning of the game. But Ohtani leads off. I know he didn't get a hit to start the game, but he ends up with two hits, two runs. Yamamoto gets the win. The Dodgers win 4-1 and the fans were going crazy. We talked with Buster Olney yesterday. The vibe around there, around Tokyo, has just been described to us as bananas for like 5 days.
I bet it is, man. I mean, do you like this Tokyo? The only thing I don't like about this is, could we have this all in like the opening week? Like, could we actually, like, this just seems so bizarre. You're starting a week before everybody else?
So I think the concern, that's a fair point. I think the concern is, let's say that these games would have taken place Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Season starts for the Rangers on Thursday, so obviously you're probably going to be playing Friday or Saturday. That's a tough turnaround to fly back from Japan and go ahead and bounce back and start doing regular season games. I wonder if teams are like, that would be disadvantageous for us, so we'd prefer, that's why it's this far
out. No, that's fair. With the jet lag and the travel, that logistically, that makes a lot of sense. That's why I guess the NFL tried to do the whole, if you're playing in London, you should get the bye week the week after just for competitive advantages.
That is true. Now, one other thing that is fascinating about this game. So we talked about yesterday, Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts has been ill, lost 15 pounds. Again, going back to Buster Olney, he's like, and you can tell. Freddie Freeman ended up having an issue with his ribs. He was out yesterday. He is questionable day to day for tomorrow. So you're talking about two of your top three hitters, but don't forget, you got Yamamoto, shut it down, and the Dodgers win 4-1.
Imanaga, I thought, was very, very impressive from the highlights that I was able to see. The four innings scoreless. Now, the walks were an issue for him.
That's true.
The walks were a problem, but
he didn't give up any hits, but he walked a bunch of people.
But if you're a Cub fan, I think that that's exciting. To your point, to a lot of the texters' points here from the 903, I think tremendous. Now the Dodgers won game one, which is the most important. They will now be able to go undefeated and go 162-0.
They're not going to go undefeated.
What?
Why would you say that?
Because no team in the history of baseball has come anywhere close to that.
Have we ever had a team in the history of baseball that was this loaded?
I don't know. Everyone talks about the 1927 Yankees as if they were the most unstoppable team. They lost a whole bunch of games.
Who's everyone, Alec? Have you ever talked about the 1927 Yankees?
I haven't.
You making stuff up?
Have you, Kevin?
Yeah. Okay. My point is, they won 110-44, and they were supposed to be awesome, but they still lost 44 games.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dodgers have to play 8 more games than that.
I don't think that team won the first game of the season in 1927.
Well, you know what? Lucky for you, I have no idea if they did or not. I could go fact check it, but I choose not to. So here's what I'm going to do.
I choose you, Pikachu.
Here's what I'm going to do, Zach. I hate it when people do bets like this, but I'm so confident the Dodgers will not go undefeated. If they do, I will do all of your G-Bag Nation shifts for a week.
For a week?
For a week.
It's the most ridiculous claim in the history of baseball.
Oh, we'll see about that, John Smoltz.
Johnny.
And you'll still get paid and everything. I probably should run it by the bosses, but not really, because in 3 days, this won't matter.
You're on.
All right. Let's accept.
I hope they're 20-0, and now all of a sudden you're sweating this.
From the 817. Man, Kevin is such a hater. From the 9s. Why? Because I don't want the Dodgers to win? Okay, here's breaking news. The Rangers aren't going to go undefeated either.
Oh, come on.
Deal with it.
It's blasphemous.
It's not.
Now you're going to tell me Jacob DeGrom's not going to be healthy.
Well, I didn't say that because
that's where you were leaning.
That feels like something that would really make people sad. If the Rangers went undefeated, it would be their best record in franchise history by, what, 65 games?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so that's not going to happen either. Now, by the way, people are still asking this. Kevin, can we watch all 162 games on Victory Plus app, and what is the price? So the price for the season is $100. You will not be able to watch all of the games on the app, though, because the national games, from what I understand, are going to be blacked out.
Correct.
The good news is, if you still have like your cable or whatever, it's on a whole bunch of systems. And then is it Channel 33?
Yes.
That's going to have the Friday night home games. So there are opportunities, whether they're national or the Friday night games, that you can watch on other streaming services or over the air. And if you get the Victory Plus package, you'll get like 130 games, probably maybe 140. So you'll get a lot, but it won't be every single game because some of those games will have conflict.
Yeah, depending on your provider, I think a lot of this is going to end up being, you'll see the majority of the games. This is going to end up being better for you than what Bally was.
One of the reasons, honestly, I'm not kidding. One of the reasons I kept DirecTV was so for so long
Same.
Is because they had the Stars, the Mavs, and the Rangers. And so yep. I am glad that now that we still have DirecTV, that the Rangers are going to be available on DirecTV again. So I'm excited about that.
Same. And the one thing that was annoying was I have DirecTV Stream, and they did not have Channel 29 for the Mavs for like the first couple of weeks of the season, maybe even month of the season. Finally, they adjusted it, and then all of a sudden, they just went ahead and nuked the Mavericks.
From the 214. Kevin, what kind of monster are you? From the 817. 162-0, baby. I will tell you this. On opening day, in 9 days, we will be doing the show live at Globe Life Field. I want anybody who actually thinks that or maybe just wants to troll me to walk by and say 162-0. Would love to hear that all day long. Now, hopefully you won't be disappointed like 4 hours later, but they're not going to go undefeated for the season. And you wouldn't want to either.
Why not? The pressure? Are you talking about the pressure?
This would be the most incredible amount of pressure on any team in the history of sports. If you went 162-0 going into the playoffs, it would be an inconceivable amount of pressure.
Pressure is a privilege, Kevin.
Ugh.
Go get Rangers.
Okay, Bruce Bochy, thank you for that.
I probably needed
to hear that. The Padres went ahead and named Michael King their opening day starter over Dylan Cease and Yu Darvish. I don't know what kind of betting odds you could have got on that
Probably
going into spring
ones.
Training. Yeah. You might have made a
That's wild.
Nice little chunk of money today. And then this is something that I wanted to throw out there that we did not get to bring up yesterday. The spring breakout game. We talked about it on Saturday against the Giants, and you got to see Santos and Teodo. And
Walcott looked great.
Yes, and some of the young arms impressed. And I always think it's a cool deal because you have the best in the entire minor league system for the Giants against the best, regardless of level, in the entire minor league system for the Texas Rangers. And I always think it's a fun time. And obviously, Winston Santos caught a lot of people. For Teodo, feels like we've already been talking about him making a name for himself really, really throughout spring training. So I thought that was a neat game for sure.
Absolutely. Three scoreless innings for Santos. That's exciting, man. The Rangers really need to prove they can develop their own pitching. I think that's big for Ray Davis and the ownership group as well.
The only thing that I'm still bummed about is obviously we've talked about Alejandro Rosario. If he wouldn't have gotten hurt, I would have loved to see how he could show out in this game. But now we're not going to see him for another year because of Tommy John. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the players that could be there at pick number 12 probably won't be there at 12, and who Wolchuk likes the most in the NFL draft. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.